Oh, look, it actually tells me I'm live on the Twitter. That was pretty cool. I think it did anyway. We're going to pin it. What is going on? So you know that this is the Krillcast Live, and I'm Chris.
And I'm Andrew.
And for those of you that don't usually tune in, we're going live on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube, and zero people are currently watching. So that's cool.
Yes.
You guys are probably wondering where we've been for, like, I think it's, 3 weeks. We've missed a podcast 2 weeks in a row, which hasn't happened in, like, years at this point.
Yeah.
But basically, we're going on holiday break. No, I'm just kidding. I mean, we might take a holiday break. I haven't decided yet. But, no, we celebrated my 30th birthday, and 2 weeks before that, there was just a lot going on. I may post a picture later on of the three of us, because we actually were in the same building at the same time, having fun and being merry. So that may be coming out soon. Maybe that'll be the thumbnail of this. Even though no, I'll wait till Will's here to do that thumbnail. Probably do our predictions video and have all three of us in the thumbnail. Because usually by the end of the year we'll do a predictions video. So probably sometime before the new year there'll be a, what do we think is going to happen in 2023? Aside from all the awful things
that are probably going to happen. You have to say only the good things.
No, we got to predict good things and bad. It was mostly gaming and tech stuff that I'm considering, like, relevant to that conversation. Obviously, we could predict lots of things.
But yeah.
I'm not Nostradamus.
So. I'm Nostradamus.
Nostradamus.
I'm just going to say predicting it right off the bat, you know, it's simply going to be that the Hogwarts Legacy game is going to be game of the year. And I don't think...
That one got booed at the Game Awards, but no, I have to feel like most of the people that go to the Game Awards...
That was journalists who were
booing... I know, I was just going to say that.
Rolling, okay? They weren't booing the game.
It's funny, like, you know, you can hate people that are involved with a property, but there's a lot of people involved with these properties that have nothing to do with the original creators. Like, there's devs, there's artists, there's creatives... There's tons of marketing people, which, you know, nobody likes marketing, but they do their work. They do their job. That's how the game gets sold. And they have no association with the original creator other than they're working on the same IP. So, like, booing it is like you're booing thousands of people. That's kind of lame.
Also, I mean, let's be honest. That game's going to have some cool mechanics to it. Like, that's going to definitely be a little bit groundbreaking, I think, in gameplay. Oh, no.
And just a reminder to everybody, on our Krill Clips channel, we've already discussed this exact conversation.
Yes, you know, we have.
1,200 views on it with the quartering, talking about how Hogwarts Legacy is going to knock your socks off and probably knock the stick out of your hands. But, you know, the wand. Don't get any dirty thoughts, Andrew.
I wasn't. In fact, you went there, though. Goodness.
So in the meantime, we did cross 1.6K subscribers on our main channel. So that was cool. While we were not even, you know, creating videos, we started gaining subscribers. So clearly people want us to stop making videos. That's
distance makes the heart grow fonder. And I think that's what they were saying to us.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
So one thing did happen while we were taking a little break here, an unintentional break, and that is I turned 30. That was an accident. That should never have happened. No, I'm just kidding. But Microsoft... Yeah,
you could be like my dad and just say you're 29 with a certain number of anniversaries.
So my dad does that too. Microsoft's deal for Activision, the thing that nobody thought could actually get stopped, and I don't know if it will get stopped anyways, because I think the argument to stop it is really bad.
I mean, it's because of this Elon Musk-styled number of pricing here, so
I don't think that's the reason. Happy birthday, Will. Huh? I mean, just so you know, Will did have a birthday, so there's that. He is also 30 now. Will and I are both 30. Andrew's the young guy.
Yeah.
What's your take on this, Andrew? I know you've got a lot to say about the FTC bid to block Microsoft's big deal. I think it's really bizarre that they're trying to cite antitrust laws for this one.
Oh, I
considering
agree.
That Sony and Nintendo are the market leaders by a mile.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's perception, just with them both being American companies. Market share wise, they view it as like the American market share kind of coming together too much. But I'm just disappointed that it's not, you know, going after them for making shitty games. And that's
You purposefully tanked Halo. Yeah, now you tank Call of Duty.
They're tanking Call of Duty. They've been tanking Call of Duty when they stopped.
Yeah, but that wasn't Microsoft. That was Activision on their own.
It's Activision on its own.
They don't need help tanking that.
No. I honestly don't really see how antitrust really applies, but if you're looking at it purely from the American companies, it might make sense.
Yeah, so the FTC sued Microsoft, sued to block Microsoft's $69 billion takeover of Activision Blizzard. Oops. The move is meant to prevent Microsoft from consolidating power in the video game industry. I'm not sure how much power Microsoft and Activision currently have, but okay, let's keep reading.
Mm-hmm.
It also represents something bigger. The FTC under Lina Khan wants to rewrite nation's antitrust approach to big tech and mergers. I'm kind of okay with that thought process, but I don't think it really applies here.
Chris, here's a quick question. How many of the companies are actually American? Because I think that might be where their leverage is. Because
EA is American.
So you got EA, you got Microsoft, you got Activision.
Yep.
Zynga,
yep.
/ Take-Two or whatever.
Intellivision.
But like
Atari is still American.
Yeah. So what market share is Activision and Microsoft?
Now you got me curious on how many gaming. Technically, PlayStation is American because their headquarters are in California, technically speaking.
Yeah.
Although they are, speaking. Subsidiary of a Japanese company. So
yeah. So, I mean, I think it's a good question mark, right? Because if you look at like the auto industry, you got the big three. So maybe that's the leverage they're trying to take on this to try to prevent the American companies from all merging.
Maybe. Let's see.
If you just look at American market share company wise, maybe Activision and Microsoft together are a substantially large percentage.
So Activision, EA, Bandai, America. Oh, that's not even true either. King Digital Entertainment. That's Sweden, though. What the heck? These are not even. So this is the worst list I've ever read. This is the top 10 American gaming. No, I want ones that are like headquartered in the United States.
Even then, Ubisoft is French, right?
Yeah. Yep.
EA, are they actually all American?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Electronic Arts is American.
So EA, Activision, Zynga, and Take-Two definitely are, right?
Take-Two probably is. I don't remember.
Didn't they merge? I thought they merged.
Take-Two and who?
Zynga.
Take-Two bought Zynga.
Yeah, so that's still... But I guess count Apple as a game company, they can't possibly be.
Well, Apple is technically a gaming company.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If you throw Apple in, then technically, I don't see how they can say this is antitrust territory.
Apple is technically, Valve is probably the biggest gaming company in North America, but it's private. It's privately owned.
Right, right.
How crazy is it that a company as big as Valve is privately owned?
I mean... Probably
I guess Twitter is privately owned.
So I think that makes a lot of sense on why Valve makes the decisions that Valve makes.
Yeah. Oh yeah. They can make really consumer friendly decisions and not get like stockholders flipping out.
Yeah. Definitely.
What are the largest gaming companies headquartered in the U.S.? Okay. Finally. Okay. We've got an answer here. Top 10 U.S. gaming companies. So Activision Blizzard is number one, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got Roblox. Roblox is U.S.-based.
Okay.
Electronic Arts, Take-Two, and Zynga are technically together.
Mm-hmm.
GameStop.
Okay, that doesn't count.
Turtle Beach is apparently on that list.
Doesn't count.
So what's funny to me is that Microsoft's not listed in this list at all. It should be.
It should.
Unless this is just third parties, not including
maybe it's, are they trying to say that it's because it's like one of the biggest game studios and then you're pairing it with one of the console manufacturers.
List then. Of gaming companies in USA. All right, let's see what this says. Crying Jim Ryan. I like that. I like that interesting idea there. These are a bunch of little ones. Yeah, none of these are big. I guess, yeah, if you look at it, really the three largest game publishers in the United States are EA, Activision, and Microsoft. It'd be like Ford buying Chevy.
Yeah, it would be. Well, you're forgetting Zynga / Take-Two.
I mean, Zynga's big.
Take-Two, but aren't they a little bit more focused towards mobile gaming? So if you're Zynga's separating, more of a
mobile company.
So yeah. If you're separating mobile from this, yeah, it would be Microsoft. Take-Two
Interactive is New York. Wait, they're like the only New York-based large gaming company.
That state's not business-friendly, let's be honest.
No, well, the other ones are California. Let's talk about business-friendly.
It used to be.
Take-Two is New York.
That's kind of bizarre. I'm saying California.
Oh, yeah, I mean, it used to be. Yeah, that's why.
Within the last, 20 years, New York has not been business-friendly within the last 20 years.
I can't
years.
Believe Take-Two's headquarters is in New York.
Yeah.
That's kind of crazy. Okay.
The but if we're looking at it, then remove mobile gaming from the equation, right? Because they're looking purely, they're able to isolate it between mobile and console gaming for this FTC.
So really, attack. Really, if you're saying like, what are the top five American gaming companies? It'd be Microsoft, Take-Two, EA, Activision, and
Apple,
Valve,
and Apple.
And Apple does everything else, so does Microsoft. But as far as like really focus on gaming, like Apple has Apple Arcade. Like, what else are they really doing?
Right.
They have like a cut of every gaming app on the App Store, but really they're not like in that conversation.
I mean, it's no different than I don't think it's much different than what Zynga does. Honestly,
it's similar. I mean, Zynga's part of Take-Two though, so we don't count them as a separate company.
Well, no, but I was saying it's no, like the way Apple approaches mobile gaming isn't much different, right? They have a lot of developer tools, and they basically incentivize a ton of people with.
Dang, Take-Two paid $12.7 billion for Zynga.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
That's a lot of money.
Mobile gaming is probably one of the most monetized gaming you can get.
Oh, no, it definitely is. Like, you make money hand over fist.
Yeah.
I agree with Spencer here. Jim Ryan was just sad that Halo dropped local co-op, and so he doesn't want them to get Call of Duty. Obviously, it's a joke.
So if we're looking at this objectively, then the top gaming studios.
This is like one of the big three automakers buying another big three automaker.
That's what it is, because you have to separate Sony and Nintendo out because they're not American. And you separate Apple out because it's mobile gaming. When with Take-Two and stuff, I guess they're heavily now, they're a big portion of theirs is mobile gaming. Yeah. So it's basically down to EA, Activision, Microsoft for big AAA games.
Although I have to say, I wonder if the same antitrust lawsuit would have been launched if it was Apple buying Activision.
I doubt it, because it's two different markets. Mobile with consoles.
But Apple would take, if Apple bought Activision, you know they're taking Call of Duty to mobile, and that's it. Like, basically iOS.
I mean, what do you mean? Like, they're bringing and they're making it available on both? They're not gonna remove their.
No, I'm saying every time Apple has bought something, for example, when they bought Beats by Dre, you could still use it with Android, but it's like made to be integrated with Apple.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I mean, so like, they already
Activision would probably be ingrained in Apple.
Didn't that Call of Duty mobile game sell like hotcakes anyway?
I believe it did. Yeah.
Sure. It's like. I think it's one of those things where, it wouldn't be a case if Apple was buying, just because it is two different market shares.
You know? I do think that Apple is missing an opportunity to compete directly with Fortnite, who they went to court with. They could buy somebody. Honestly, maybe it'd be EA to get Apex Legends.
They should partner with Sony to revive Meg.
Get 64 iPhones all together and play.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
Gosh, that'd be awful.
Actually, you would need 256 because that was the biggest map.
Anyways, long story short, I think this is like the FTC maybe a little bit of overreach with this one.
I think because it's entertainment, it's a bit wacky.
It is. It's bizarre that they've chosen to go after this deal. Because like in the at the end of the day, like, entertainment is optional. It's not like anybody needs entertainment.
And it's not, okay, if we're completely honest, it's not like it's that hard for them to have competitors spring up, right? Like,
right,
yeah, it exactly. is entertainment. Pretty successful games have been crowdfunded before. Like, yeah. Kingdom Come Deliverance was crowdfunded.
That was 100%.
That was good, right? Like,
you could easily find somebody to build something that could compete. I mean, Call of Duty is a huge franchise. What's the other one? Not Juicy Fruit. Candy Crush.
Yeah.
Candy Crush is a huge franchise.
But I don't think either of those are without competitors. And
oh, there's plenty of
competitors. What is, like, the worst thing Microsoft could do is, okay, it's made exclusive to Microsoft. To Windows. Cool.
So now Sony has to actually build Killzone or Resistance or one of their
old franchises. So you're going to force Sony to partner with EA to bring back all of the titles I want EA to bring back? Yes, please.
That's fine with me. Yeah.
Yeah. All Sony has to do is go revive Meg or whatever other title they want to revive, or go to EA and be like,
hey. Plus, Microsoft has never been about like exclusivity of their own franchises. Minecraft is on everything. Minecraft's on everything.
No, Cuphead, they used to be. They used to be big on exclusives. Don't kid ourselves in.
But they're not anymore. They haven't been for years.
Yeah, but even Sony has let that roll down a bit, and it's one of those things where Microsoft lost the sole ownership over a couple of those studios, so they couldn't really be full exclusives. You know what I mean? Like Bethesda at one point, you know?
Well, when Sony's doing this, like, Sony legitimately does pay companies to not release on Xbox for time. Like, Xbox did it last with the...
They did it too, though. They've all done it.
But I'm just saying, like for example, if they're going to agree to put Call of Duty on Sony products for the next 10 years, you're telling me Sony can't figure out another franchise in 10 years?
Dude, all I can say...
Sony can put something out. Like,
if one, Call of Duty kind of sucks. So
I don't understand why this is such a big deal. Like, nobody.
No, it's
like,
not. It's not. There's plenty of other shooters that are much better than Call of Duty if you actually wanted to like pursue them. So I would 100% support this deal, even if it went exclusive. Right? I would like that just because you might get more diversity to the games. I think Call of Duty. Especially with the esports nonsense about Call of Duty, I feel like it's become too much of the go-to shooter without any like true identity.
Call of Duty has been a dying franchise for a long time.
It's been
but the
dying.
console that people want to play it on is Microsoft Xbox anyways. Like the bulk of people who play FPS are Xbox owners.
I don't know. I think I'll be completely honest. I think that COD is no longer viewed solely as one console over the other. I don't think it really is. Mainly because I think that's more of a millennial thing. I think we're thinking too much like millennials on that.
I mean, people will buy Call of Duty on whatever console they own. So like if people own a PlayStation, they're not going to go buy an Xbox just to go get it.
Right.
I'm just saying Xbox is more of a platform where people are going to buy COD.
If Call of Duty is your focus as a gamer, like that's the main and only game you're going to play, yeah, you're going to probably buy an Xbox. I don't know what else to say. Like that's 100% true. It's always had that image that I can think. For as long as I can think of, that's what Microsoft's image has been. If your focus is COD, you'll buy an Xbox. That's true. I agree. The esports. I think the esports has been keeping COD alive a little bit more than it should have.
Oh yeah, no doubt. And then with Warzone and Twitch, that helps too.
Yeah, the video game influencer crowd of players is definitely keeping COD more alive.
To be fair, the bulk of your current influencers at the top are like around our age, and we grew up with Call of Duty.
Yeah.
So, of course, they're going to play Call of Duty.
I just want to say one thing, though. Activision and Blizzard need to, like, apologize to the Call of Duty fan base because they have been destroying that franchise by not going back to original stories every so often. Like, think about all how they used to do, like, the big red one and things where they tried to, you know, teach a little bit of history of the different campaigns that actual soldiers fought through. And the fact that none of those have been brought back, really, for a much-needed improvement so that the next generation can actually experience those games and maybe learn something, since they clearly don't pay attention in history history class. I think that would be a very
rewarding experience.
Yeah, it would be a very rewarding experience. I would, one, it would gain so much goodwill for me, at least, that I would stop hating on Call of Duty. Just if they did that, I'd probably buy them. Too,
okay, this is a good point from Mike Little, a longtime viewer of the channel. No company should be able to buy their way above 20% market share for anything ever. If they have that much extra money to spend, they need to spend it on making better stuff. like, I okay, know, I disagree with his premise. I think if you have the cash flow, you should be able to buy whatever you want. But also, we do have antitrust laws for a reason. So, you know, I don't think Microsoft I don't think Microsoft should be allowed to buy Nintendo or Sony, because those are literally the big three in gaming. However, I don't think that this qualifies as that.
I'm conflicted, because above 20% market share, that's not that much.
Apple and Google own 50% each-ish of the mobile phone markets. There's that.
Yeah. I was saying, like, if you're buying over 50%, I mean, you can easily make yourself more than that. It's a question of they're trying to buy talent. That's what it is, brands and talent. And if you have any bigger complaint, I think the better complaint would be with the IP laws and how we stopped actually having the sunset clause on how long they had exclusivity to certain IP. Eventually it becomes, you know, public domain, and companies like Disney have been able to keep the mouse out of it for well beyond the typical time frame. Right.
Oh, I have a huge problem with that.
Yeah. So if it right now, Call of Duty has been around for how long? I'm pretty sure Call of Duty should technically be like a public domain from an IP standpoint, and anyone would be able to make those games. But that's a different issue, right?
Mm.
No, this wouldn't be the same conversation it is, especially with how these studios shut down their old studios. Like, anyone would be able to take some of that once it became public domain, right? And bring back some of those old franchises that we actually liked and probably make a pretty badass studio today.
I think it's pretty crazy that things don't go to public domain at the death of the creator. Like, I can imagine. That should be the end right there.
Yeah. Like, as soon as EA killed Visceral Games and Pandemic Studio, like, Army of Two, right, Mercenaries, both should have just become public domain, in my opinion. I agree completely.
I also think that if a company, like, retires a franchise and they don't – like, for example, if Sony stops making Spider-Man movies, they lose the access to that. Like, imagine if companies had to keep making more games in order to like, own that IP for longer than 5 years.
Yeah, I mean, did you just reference the Spider-Man movies? Because that's definitely a good thing, right? Sony has done some great things with Spider-Man, in my opinion.
I think sometimes forced creativity is some of the best creativity.
Well, yes and no, but I mean, they have to make it where it still sells. Call of Duty has been basically doing forced creativity in a failing
They've been doing forced marketing for 2 decades. They have not been creative in years.
Army of Two would sell like hotcakes. It's been gone for how long now? At least 10 years. That the fact that EA is not seriously considering bringing that back baffles my mind. They have some amazing IP back in the day, especially Mercenaries. Could you imagine them doing a Ukraine one?
Oh god.
That'd be great.
Oh man.
What is also, it, the Wagner mercenaries from Russia? You're fighting against them. That'd be fantastic.
Okay, let's
come on, EA.
Let's not talk about that.
No.
Andrew, here's what I want to talk about too. So yeah. One thing that has kind of fallen into public domain is cartridges for older consoles, or like, you know, burning discs for older consoles. Right. I think that if a company decides to retire or stop supporting a console, then it should enter public domain for development. The SDK should have to be made public domain.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's wrong that technology can basically be obsoleted
by and then just dead and killed.
Yeah, just by monopolization. That's kind of effed. I'll agree.
So what Nintendo has done over its entire history has been re-release their games digitally every time a new platform comes out.
Yeah.
But I think they should be required to allow open source development for NES, Super Nintendo, yeah. N64. When they hit 20 years or they're no longer supporting it, it should basically be a requirement that they just open the SDK.
I think it's definitely one of those things where
like, they're not making any more money on N64 hardware.
I think 20 years is just a good generic year date, but I think you could add variability to it based on how obsolete it is.
Yeah.
So if 20 years goes by and it's still not obsolete, like, then let them maintain it, right? If it's still something that they're strongly utilizing, strongly developing.
I'm just saying if they basically retire, products, if they retire it and they stop using it, yeah, like, it should enter public domain in 20 years.
Yeah, I don't think anything should be allowed to just be lost, right? It's basically the Library of Alexandria concept. Yeah, here's learning and technology.
Right, exactly. Like, for example, if, let's just say Samurai Jack ended in, like, well, it didn't end. They just redid season 5 or whatever a couple years back. Right. But if that franchise had died for like 20 years, the Cartoon Network didn't touch it and the creator didn't touch it, it should eventually enter public domain.
I'll be honest, with how Disney does Mickey Mouse, I would be 100% okay with even current usage not necessarily granting you full monopolization of it forever. There comes a point where you've had something that's become ingrained into the culture of society that it might as well be public domain, right? Like
but
even if that's
the
century, right?
There's the other argument that, like, Mickey Mouse is the mascot of Disney. Like, do you think people should be allowed to do their own creative works on Mickey Mouse?
There's a difference between trademarking Mickey Mouse to Disney, to Disney branding, I should say, and other people not being able to brand with it, but still be able to make content.
Oh, I mean, that's fair enough. Like, because, you know, it's not necessarily produced by Disney, even if Disney's, you know, character is used in it. Like, South Park using Mickey Mouse, obviously that's not Mickey Mouse.
Right. So the fact that South Park's allowed to use it, I'm just saying. They're not allowed, South Park's not allowed to go make a brand, that use Mickey as their brand.
This guy did not spell our name right at all.
that sounds like a new
toothpaste brand. Yeah. Gonna go brush our teeth with some Creel Crest.
Actually, that's what we should brand a toothpaste.
We'll just start our own toothpaste company made with real shrimp.
Yeah, instead of coffee brand coffee or whatever else, just remember, everybody, we do have a promo code for coffee brand coffee. But yes, we should come out with a,
not even worry about it. It's okay.
You just gave us the best idea for a branding of,
we'll start toothpaste brand toothpaste.
Creel Crest.
Oh, yeah. That's, I think we'd probably get sued by the Crest Corporation, but, you know,
oh, maybe let them fight it out.
But we'll donate $1 to the Krill Foundation for every toothpaste tube sold at $10 a pop.
It's actually going to be a toothpaste tube that's shaped like a giant shrimp. So,
yeah, that's why it costs
$10. Then they literally can't say that anyone can possibly confuse it with the Crest toothpaste brand.
It looks like a darn shrimp. Okay, hold on. But here's the thing right here. I think public domain is a good take on this. But
yeah,
now we're arguing public domain versus antitrust.
Well, okay.
I want to finish this conversation here with this.
Let's be honest. There's no antitrust thing here when you factor it in as entertainment. There's no specific need to even say that, oh, there's a monopoly here. It's so problematic because you still have the different console creators who will be incentivized to seek out new developers if for some reason there was an issue. It doesn't take more than a year to create a new game. Not really, especially if you dedicate resources behind it. It's a lot. I mean, I would point the finger if they want to get into this domain, right, of antitrust and entertainment, they should go look at the movie studios, because there's been a lot of consolidation over there when 20th Century Fox was purchased.
That was insane. And
Paramount. Well, didn't Paramount get purchased too?
No, I think Paramount.
Did Paramount purchase other people?
They bought a bunch of other people, I think.
So there's been a lot of consolidation there. Just look at what Disney owned.
No, the biggest market of antitrust that needs to be stopped is the absorption of social media companies by Facebook, Google, and
they
tried to absorb Snapchat back when that was still pretty big. Imagine having so much money that every time a good competitor rolls along, you just buy them.
I mean, Twitter purchased Vine and killed it. So, and then now that's
Vine wasn't competing with Twitter necessarily.
I know, but that's why we have TikTok.
That is why we have TikTok. Yeah.
So it's one of those things, right? Where I think the movie studios are a bigger thing than this. And if you just went to look at what studios Disney owns, what TV channels Disney owns, that's Goliath right there. No one can compete with Disney. Let's be honest.
Yeah, but slow down for a second. The reason why I say antitrust and social media companies is more because if you look at the history of things, like who owns the servers in the US? Microsoft, Amazon, Facebook, Twitter. They all have the biggest servers in the whole, and Google. And who are the people that you're competing with when you try to build a social media app? Microsoft, Facebook, Google.
So if you're buying server
space on your competitor and they buy you out, they could just shut you down anyways and kill off your server space. Like, that's ridiculous.
I would say, too, that the fact that they own most of the algorithms that let them kind of see what's trending.
That's true. Yeah,
they can see what's competing with them. And you're forced to go through... You're basically forced to go through most of their servers anyway, so they have full knowledge of everything you're doing. It's kind of one of those things where they have an unfair insider knowledge almost of who their competitors are, what's trending, and they then just go buy it without telling that company what their true value is. So they have almost an unfair insight into each of those companies they're buying.
Yes, they do. That is a fact. So I think if you're going to look at antitrust, I think the social media companies and the entertainment companies are probably a better bet than Microsoft and Activision.
But I don't really want that to be the target. I'd rather just make it where it's like they're more targeted by the same laws that are with like phone companies, where you're not liable for what's on it, but you also can't. You can't deny service in any format. So that would be better.
You're talking about Section 230.
I'm talking about treating them like the Bell Corporation was treated
that was Section 230.
Yeah, no, it is and it isn't though.
All right.
It is and it isn't because they're allowed to ban content.
That's actually not true, and there's actually a lawsuit going through right now about that. So basically, the way I understand it is Section 230 is only to protect the reason why they're going to court right now, I don't know if you know much about this, the way that they organize the homepage is considered moderation of content.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that they suggest things to you based on an algorithm, and they can also control what is shown and what isn't by just...
I mean, the fact that you can't see the algorithm or fine-tune the algorithm that you personally are using is the fact that they're not giving you any control. So they are your editorial board, basically.
Exactly. So that they're actually getting sued over that right now. And it sounds like the court is siding with the person bringing the suit as opposed to the corporations.
Right now, the problem is that they are viewed more like in the realm of newspaper concepts, like journalism versus just a place that something happens, instead of being viewed as a service provider like this phone company. Because the phone company can't just deny you access to the network, right?
Right.
So
as you're a paying customer, they have to buy you on.
So the problem is, I think this is the argument that Clarence Thomas of the justices that have looked, he's the one who's argued this. They should be viewed more like phone companies. And I agree completely with that. That's 100% the correct position. They should not be allowed to just deplatform you.
No, I 100% agree with that. I don't think anything. Here's the thing. One thing that I've heard from lots of people over the years is that the best antidote to a bad idea is sunlight.
Oh, of course.
So if somebody has really bad opinions, when you ban them, it doesn't make their opinions go away. It makes them probably stronger, and they might become a conspiracy theorist at that point. But
makes it way stronger.
If you allow people to say what they're going to say, everybody can comment on it and say, dude, you're stupid. And then that may change their opinion at some point.
Well, not just that. It makes it where they have to fight constantly over their opinion and try to come up with like legitimate justifications for it. Whereas if you're constantly just banning them instead of arguing it out and actually exercising your arguments and your brain, then you're never going to have a good rebuttal. So all you're doing is like diminishing your own intellect on that topic and making it where it's going to be that much harder to get rid of the bad idea through debate. So you shouldn't just ban someone. You should just publicly humiliate them with a better idea. That's much better.
The thing is like bad ideas usually can't be defended.
Exactly.
So and the second you let them spout their bad ideas, they're not going to be able to defend themselves and they'll get shut down.
Exactly.
Bad ideas tend to have very like, and if somebody continues to defend that, then hey, you know what? At least they were allowed to say it. And you were allowed to say what you believe right against
them. Let's go down the rabbit hole here for even the worst thing. Like, if someone's a racist, let them post because
so then you'll know they're racist.
Then everyone knows they're racist and they can't lie and say they're not racist because you have like 20 different tweets to just be like, do you see how this person is a racist? Whereas other people, if you just keep deleting their stuff, there's no evidence. And that person can just claim to be victimized. And then there's like the whole broken wing syndrome where there's certain people out there who just sympathize with whoever they think is downtrodden, regardless of how much of the downtrodden is their own doing. So don't make them sympathetic. Just don't do that.
Yeah, when somebody is a victim of speech being taken away, people are more likely to support them. As opposed to if you find out the reason why their speech was taken away, as in their tweets are still up and they're a racist SOB, it's pretty easy to be like, you know what? Maybe I shouldn't support this person anymore.
Right.
Like, that's pretty easy. You said that? Never mind.
Exactly.
I don't think I want to support
Much you. Harder for that person to get allies when it's quite easy to see their track record.
I agree with you, Andrew. And like I said, the best antidote for a bad idea is sunlight.
Sunlight is literally bleach.
I thought you meant the best antidote is bleach, and I was going to be like,
no. I was saying no, seriously though. Sunlight
trying to dissolve some people. Things, like, what are you doing?
Bleach doesn't dissolve.
I mean, it'll burn your skin until you die.
That's fair. Don't drink bleach.
Don't drink bleach.
It's not an antidote for anything.
Don't do anything with bleach on your body. You know, that's for clothes and other things.
Yeah. No Tide Pod challenges. We do not endorse that trend.
No. Not even that those fake candy ones from China. Nope.
Wait, did they make them?
Yeah, there's candy Tide Pods that came from China a couple years back. I remember seeing them. I don't know if it was real or not, but I saw them on Facebook. Somebody's like, look, candy Tide Pods. It's like, that's awful. Yeah. Like, those should not be legal.
No.
I think it was like the equivalent of a gusher.
Okay. But yeah, there's a lot of stuff, man. There's a lot of stuff. And this is the silliest argument. If anything, this whole antitrust thing is, they're just trying to grab power where they don't have it currently. And
right.
It's a very easy argument for them to try to make, because I guess you theoretically can claim that it is a huge market share, but I really struggle to see the justification to actually prevent it. Doesn't mean anyone's lives.
I think that in reality, Activision is a dying company. Like, they're definitely dying. It's just going to take a while because they're so big, and Microsoft buying them is not going to make them less dead. Yeah. It's just going to probably guarantee that Call of Duty exists in some form or factor into the beyond, you know. And if anything, the guarantee of a 10-year, 50% one company control. I mean, that
there is no line if it's not an essential. I just don't see a line.
Just stop for a second, Andrew.
Okay.
Are you saying that Microsoft buying Activision would get them to 50% control?
No. He's asking hypothetically if they were to get 50%. Is that would you break up a company? And the question is, what's the product? First of all, what's the product?
That's a good point. Yeah.
Do you need it? Do you actually need it to survive? If the answer is no, then I don't see a line. I don't see a case study here. Is it a scenario where you can't make competitors? Like, what's the reason for lack of competitor? Does the company own the marketplace as well as the production of this massive market share? Because if that's the case, then okay, you might have a case, right? Like, if they're preventing other companies from even coming to market, then that is anti-competitive. That is basically what the social media companies were doing. That's what you were saying, right, Chris? So yeah. It's one of those things where unless they can actually prevent competitors from coming to the market, I don't see a line. And unless it's
Google and Facebook tried like hell to stop Snapchat and they lost.
Right.
Snapchat persevered.
And on top of that, unless it is like a drastic scenario where there's like it's a necessity and the company is price gouging at the same time that it's a very long time frame to get something to market to compete, then maybe you have a case as well. So energy sector, right? If a company bought up a large portion of the grid and they just started price gouging the crap out of people, and it takes 10 years to build a relevant competitor, right? You might think, okay, we have to step in here now because that is way too long of a time period for a competitor to get to market. And in the meantime, they're unchecked in their abuses. But that's not the case here with console gaming. I don't see it.
If anything, I would say Sony is being less consumer friendly than Microsoft in this case. They were the ones that upped the gaming prices to $70. They started that trend.
So the second part here, though, that he says about they just get bought, like that's up to the developer that's trying to compete. Because if you actually compete and you're competitive, if you take a long-term, low-time preference approach, you're going to make way more money. You're going to have to work for it, but you're going to make way more money than if you just took the buyout.
And to be fair, a lot of the most successful franchises on the planet have come from small devs.
Yeah.
Like Roblox. Roblox started out with like nothing, and they are one of the largest market shares in the entire world.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think it's a question of resources and no new startups, especially in gaming. But gaming is like its own thing. You can do a lot with one dev doing one thing.
Right. And let's not forget, too, if they get bought out, that's going to be a highly inflated price. That company's buying it, they're not going to make as good of a product, especially if they don't keep the developers around, right? So if you buy it, that developer just got a ton of money to go start a new project. And they can just pump that into a whole new game.
Well, here's a good question. What consoles would a startup sell on? Yeah, Steam. I mean, realistically, Microsoft, Steam, but you can also just do your own self-distribution on PC.
I mean,
it's still possible.
Look at Kingdom Come Deliverance. That's a Kickstarter that managed to sell on all the consoles. Every single console you could get that game on by the end. So the pathway exists for an independent studio to make a pretty solid game that's unique, that you don't get from anyone else, and it can be on every console. And I think...
You could also develop for iOS, Android. You can just self-publish on Android.
I joined the Kickstarter for Kingdom Come Deliverance, and I got that on PS4. So, I mean, that can go on anything you want.
Yeah, Kingdom Come Deliverance would have been on PC only if it was... not
if it didn't get backed enough.
Yeah. But that is a good question, because now you basically have to choose between. So what Mike's asking is, right now if you want to publish on consoles, you have to publish for Nintendo, Microsoft, or Sony. But that doesn't mean that there couldn't be a startup like Ouya or Atari or Intellivision that actually produces a real working console that you could publish on. Like, there could always be a new competitor. It'd be difficult.
Yeah.
But it's possible.
I mean, you could make a new console that's based... Look at the Steam Deck. You can make a new console that's PC-based.
Linux.
Yeah, you can make a new console that is basically a low-grade PC. And as long as you're developing towards console control, like with a controller versus a mouse and keyboard, then there's no problem there, right? Like, that's... A PC could be everything you need, and the new competitor could design something that's cost-effective on that level. So I think that the market is endlessly open. You just need someone who's creative to do it. Valve has tried a couple times. I don't think Valve has been as uniform in the approach as they should have until Steam Deck.
So let me ask you this, Andrew.
Yeah.
I think the only good point here is that if Microsoft had a market share that dwarfed everybody else, you're basically going to be required to publish on a Microsoft product at that point to make money.
Yeah.
Then yes, that would be, in my opinion, Microsoft's too big then, because if it's the only,
they would have to dominate the operating system market. In my opinion, they would have to dominate operating systems more than they currently don't dominate it per se.
They do and they don't. Like, Microsoft has the largest PC share of operating systems.
Yeah.
But Mac competes, Linux competes, and now even iOS and Android technically compete for the desktop space. Even like Chrome OS. There is a lot of competition in the operating system space.
Right. And PCs can be pricey. Yep. That's if you want but that's because everyone thinks of a PC as needing a really high-end visual. If you're only competing with consoles, right, you're marketing to console gamers, like, you could make a pretty solid PC that works perfectly with a TV and is not going to break your budget. Plus, if Razer ever made that modular PC design, you would never have to drop the full $600 again on a new console. You could always upgrade it over time. Oh, this year I'm spending $50 to upgrade my graphics card or whatever. Like, you could do it over time and make it very cost competitive and much more easy to stomach for a lot of people. And I think that right there is where it's going to, where you might get a big flip in perception. if that modular design ever truly gets released.
Here's something that most people don't talk about, but I'm going to talk about it. Right now, this isn't, I don't even know what thing it is. Oh, here it is. I can take a controller, my cell phone, and this little doohickey right here.
Yep.
Play my phone games on my TV, and it is almost console quality.
Yeah. I mean, let's be honest. Your iPhone today has way more computing power than what NASA had to put someone on the moon. So,
right.
Like, technology in this department is extremely deflationary in price, and people need to realize that it's rapidly changing. Any lie you make right now, you're going to think is obsolete within 5 years anyway. And I don't know. I think it just requires creativity to combat, not 80-year-old senators pushing for just because their grandchild is upset, like Ticketmaster, you know. Let's be honest.
That's a bad monopoly right there.
No, but let's be honest. The only reason certain people like AOC or Elizabeth Warren or Amy Klobuchar are even looking at this is because either they themselves or someone in their family is upset that they could not buy the Taylor Swift concert tickets. So if they were not personally impacted by this, so Ticketmaster screwed up. They should have had the government officials fast lane.
VIP passes.
And no one would be saying anything, okay? Like,
Ticketmaster is almost a monopoly on tickets, though.
I don't care. It's kind of crazy. I don't care. It's tickets. It's tickets. If you want, like,
yeah, but they make a cut of all tickets.
So what, they own the venues. They own the venues that they're being hosted in.
He's right. They have been talking about Ticketmaster for a while, long before Taylor Swift, but it came to the forefront because of Taylor Swift. Like, that's why everybody's talking about it.
I don't care.
It has been an issue longer than that, though.
But
Ticketmaster's not buying other companies because they're the only game in town.
No, it's because they literally are the ticketing. Ticketmaster is literally the ticket company for the venues that they own.
And they own, like, all the venues.
Who cares? If they own the venue, did they build it? Like, are they building venues?
I don't think so. I think they're just buying them.
Okay, you're buying the venue. That means you paid for it to be built. I don't see a problem here.
They lack all the competition. I think the reason the antitrust law
is... You can do a concert in the field,
Andrew, I actually disagree with you on this. So here's the thing. I think the reason why you don't want monopolies in a country like ours is because it literally does lock out innovation. Like, that's the same reason that I disagree with the EU telling Apple how to build their phones.
Okay,
I don't think that, A, you should be able to regulate a company out of existence, but also I don't think you should be able to own the entire market.
You can literally host a concert in a field, okay? Like, yeah, you don't...
Okay, you know what? You're just not listening. The digital ticket marketplace is Ticketmaster. They own the whole thing. You are locked out of doing that.
No, they own.
Unless you build your own service, and then you'll probably get
the venue.
They'll probably tell you that you're stealing their patents because you use some kind of digital service.
Okay, wait. Do you know how easy it is for a competitor idea right now? Anyone, feel free to bloody well take this. All right, some Web3 startup company does tickets with NFTs. They mint the NFTs. They sell the NFTs. Those NFTs can just be sold between people. Doesn't matter. They put a royalty in, so every resale gives them 10% on the profits made between it. They release those for sale at whatever fair market price they think it is, and then they make extra when people try to buy them from each other. They have the venue. It's called like a field, as in Burning Man is in the desert. You don't need to go through Ticketmaster or use any of their venues. Guess what? You just made a shit ton of money and you didn't use anything in the established system. Look how easy that is. And people are doing it with stupid art JPEGs, but they're not doing it with something that's actually industry innovation. I don't know what to tell you. People need to be more creative because there's ways to make a boatload of cash with minimal effort with technology that already exists.
Andrew, there you go. You are spouting off a pipe dream. All right. Here's the thing.
I know
it could be done. I'm just saying, like,
do you know how much money that would make you? You like, just because the Fyre Festival was a massive failure doesn't mean it had to have been. They were just terrible.
Well, this is a problem. This is the backroom handshakes, right? So you'd have to find an indie artist that's not associated with Ticketmaster or the venues, and then they'd have to be okay with being blacklisted from all Ticketmaster venues.
Okay, one. the one who brought this to the forefront, because whatever, is Taylor Swift, a person who didn't even have her music on Spotify for the longest time because she gets pissy with people and bucks the system. So
she did actually re-record all of her music so she could own it.
Yeah, so
why that was a really creative idea.
If you have to be upset with anybody. Be upset with the artists who can't be canceled because they can literally do anything they want. That's true.
Taylor Swift could probably go wherever she wants and do whatever she wants.
She could go to Burning Man if she wanted. She could just go there, have the biggest concert of her life. Everyone's welcome. It's a giant bloody desert, okay? Like, who cares? She could do anything she wants. Be mad with Taylor Swift. Don't be mad with Ticketmaster just because they're doing what's smart for their business.
Okay, Andrew, I do think that there is a line. I just don't know where to define it.
It's entertainment. I don't think there is a line with entertainment. That's my problem here. You don't need to go to a concert.
I think there does become a point where creativity, even the best creativity, will not find a way to get there.
If you
went full 1984 and the government controlled all media, like, obviously there's no way in that system for you to break free and do something that's not illegal.
Okay. There's no laws preventing what I have said. This competition, there's no laws. I'm saying if
there were like a full-blown monopoly, and not the government, but if it was, you know, if it was the government, we're all screwed. But in a capitalist market like our own, and in a place where things can kind of run rampant to the point where they own the market, like, there is, at the very least, if a competitor springs up, the largest majority shareholder should not be able to shut it down there shouldn't be a way for them to do that.
Yeah, fine, but I'm just saying,
like, Microsoft shouldn't be able to walk up to, like, threaten them that we're going to take away your server space because you're a better competitor than we are.
It's concerts, though. Like, I don't see myself personally. I've never seen value in spending more than $20 on $25 to get into a place for live music.
I wouldn't do that either.
What?
I wouldn't do that either. I'm like, I'm not going to take a Ticketmaster by
$1,000. Like, I'm not trying to pay $100 to go to this concert and get beer spilt on my shoes. Like, I'm not.
Look, I'm not like the biggest advocate for competitors in. Yeah, that's right here. This is exactly what it is. There got to be something in place to block bullies from hurting startups.
But, okay.
Like, Microsoft shouldn't be able to muscle into a brand new dev studio and say, like, hey, listen, if you don't play by our rules and sell yourselves to us, we're going to shut you down.
Okay, here's the thing. You have to point out where the venues. Are the venues preventing themselves from being an open platform, per se? If they are, then go after them that way, because they're not being a open, public, like,
well, imagine if a venue had the option to use a service that was cheaper than Ticketmaster and chose to go with Ticketmaster because they didn't want to get blacklisted by Ticketmaster.
Okay, here's the case you have to go with. It's not antitrust, people. It's not. It would be civil rights, because it would be just like a restaurant or a restaurant or movie theater or whatever it is. They're not allowed to block you for any reason, right? if you're a paying customer, they're not allowed to deny you service. So it's kind of more in that realm than antitrust. Are they like, are they forcing you to go with the one ticket provider when there's a more economical way and you're selling tickets to this? Like, I feel like the artist should have more control over it than
I think the venue. This is a good point, though. I don't think that civil rights cases apply to discrimination against business.
It's similar concept.
Similar, but I don't think it applies.
Yes, it does, actually, because no, there is a law. They already said that corporations are people too. So there you go.
He does bring up a good point, though. What you're saying is actually what antitrust law is.
It's different.
No, it's not different.
No, you're not breaking it up. You're telling them that they're not allowed to prevent another competitor.
Antitrust isn't just breaking up companies, though.
Antitrust is about breaking up companies.
It's about prevention of monopolies. No,
that is okay. Prevention of monopolies and breaking them up. Who cares if someone owns 100% of the venues if they have to literally not discriminate against other businesses who are trying to purchase the time slots other than money? Other than money, if it goes to the highest bidder, and that is the main determination there, right?
But that's not what's going on.
I am saying, but that doesn't make it antitrust. It doesn't make it antitrust because antitrust does not distinguish a good behaving monopoly from a bad behaving monopoly unless the government owns it, okay? Like, the only monopoly that they allow are government-owned monopolies, all right? So if you say antitrust, you are inherently speaking about breaking a company up to below, make it where none of them have more than like 30% market share. It's that it's inherently punishing successful businesses, in my opinion, not directly punishing bad behaving businesses.
Well, and then that comes to a point where is the market share that is 100% being over?
Dude, no.
I don't even watch that.
One, fine. Reference the comment. You need to watch something other than Fox News. I hate Fox News.
Neither of us watch that.
I hate Fox News. I despise people like Sean Hannity. Okay, despise him. All right.
That's funny though. Thanks for pegging us in a corner. Appreciate it.
I'm just saying that one, if I own the only concert venue in a city,
you're right? Really stuck on Ticketmaster. I want to get back to Microsoft.
No, because this is the thing, it's all about scale, right? Just because if I own the only concert hall in a city, are you going to break up my ownership of it because I have a monopoly in your city? Like, where is your line on economies of scale here? Because if you break it down granularly enough, there is a monopoly within the realm of where you're willing to travel, okay? So, or where you're capable of traveling. So I could get this very granular to the point that it doesn't make any sense, but all the criteria that you are claiming that matters is still applicable. The problem is there's logical fallacies associated with the antitrust argument when it is about access, not control. It's about access and controlling the access, not about ownership. So
the line, but he's saying that the line isn't the level of ownership, it's the ability to access the.
It's about how the manipulation is occurring. Are you preventing competition?
Are you behaving in an antitrust manner?
Yeah. The focus is on ownership, which is just is envy driven, not actual fairness driven. No, like that's my problem with it.
If companies stop playing fair, then antitrust applies.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, okay, Apple's treating everyone fairly with their platform. I see nothing wrong with how
Apple. Let's take our 30% from everybody. I think okay. That might be a little high.
I mean, it's a bit high. I would never charge more than 10%. If God didn't take more than 10, why should I? But who am I to say that they can't? The government takes
It's been very successful.
A ridiculous amount of money in taxes for me every year. Why?
That's a fair point.
So if Apple governs the App Store, who is the government to tell them that you can't tax more than this? Okay.
We're going to take our taxes off of that too.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, Apple, don't forget you owe us 40% on everything you made over $1 million. Like, okay. Pot, meat, kettle. You are the same.
Okay. Yeah, that's a fair point. So just to finish the argument on Microsoft, I see zero antitrust application.
There is none. There is
Activision
none,
being purchased by Microsoft. I think it actually opens the door for another company to succeed in Activision instead, especially a small vertical, growing company. So if you could build a good franchise and then build it into multiple dev studios, you could probably build a new Activision in a few years.
I mean, honestly, it's probably healthy for the industry just because, like, we've talked about the buyouts in the past where good developers, like actual devs, are going to get good payouts to leave these studios and now go try to start up something on their own if they're so inclined. And not just that, you're consolidating the hollowed out franchises that companies like Microsoft are going to just push now. You'll have Call of Duty on the same yearly cycle.
And it'll come out. Microsoft's already basically confirmed, like, we're going to give it to PlayStation, Nintendo for 2 years. As long as they, like, don't break that, like, that'll give Nintendo and Sony plenty of years to decide whether it would be valuable for them to develop their own competitive franchise.
Yeah, but you're also
Splatoon is killing it right now. Nintendo did a good job with Splatoon.
Something like this, though, you're just going to create a zombie company. Mm-hmm. If anything, Microsoft shouldn't want this burden. Too much of it is, like, too much of that. I know it prints money, but, like, too much of that development is just a zombie corpse. And eventually a competitor will destroy it. So they're kind of buying at the all-time high that it will ever be worth, in my opinion. Unless they do something to radically change the direction and course correct by, like, remaking some of those really old Call of Duties to try to re-educate people about, like, the Big Red One or whatever other campaign.
I think Call of Duty did a great job of kind of giving you context to history.
Yeah.
And a unique first-person perspective.
That's why I liked Call of Duty back in the day.
So in fact, even through like Black Ops, you got to see some of the covert things going on during the Cold War. That was pretty cool. I mean, some of it was obviously complete fantasy, but...
Right. I mean, even Modern Warfare wasn't terrible. But, like, as soon
that terrorist scenario in the airport, like, I didn't want to do that.
I mean, I still played it.
I mean, I did, but I didn't like it.
When you get to the point, though, where they're now going futuristic, it's fun for, like, one or two games, and then they've taken it now to... They're out of ideas.
I want to see World War, not World War One. I want to see them do the Revolutionary War,
dude. The Civil War had that one game that was with the History Channel. That was pretty solid.
I remember you telling me that.
PS2 for the win. All right.
One of the hardest things about going back farther, though, is you lose the speed. That's why, even like Call of Duty, World at War. Because the guns are slower. People didn't.
I think the problem is, well, okay, this is a legit complaint, I would say, is they removed tactics from Call of Duty.
They did, yeah.
They made it an arcade shooter.
It's like loadouts.
They made it a realistic looking arcade shooter. So if you go down this rabbit hole, right, if you go back further, that means you have to do more tactically in the gameplay.
Yeah.
You have to make the gameplay more tactitional,
right? Between musket shots.
No. If you develop the maps, right, to be more tactical in nature, to put more thought into it and coordination as a team, then I think you would probably. And you have to develop the game modes, right, to make it kind of push for that. Otherwise, you're just gonna have a bayonet charge every freaking match. hand-to-hand combat, nonstop.
I mean, you would have that regardless.
Well, yes and no, given how they actually fought. But You could do it. It just takes work, and that's the reason they won't do it. It takes effort. Effort's hard.
I think a Revolutionary War Call of Duty game would be both hilarious and awesome if they did.
Could you imagine that for esports? That'd be funny.
Like, you'd have the reloads would be like really long. You have to go hide for reloads, like behind a boulder or like in the
back. You don't have to make it that long. You know they were able to get shots off still at a pretty good.
No, I know that, but you still need to hide for a reload because reloading is not that is not simple.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it means you have to stick together as a team.
I think if you did a Revolutionary War shooter, you would want to have it be as large as Mag. You want to have like large battles.
You would need okay. The thing is, you want more than 10 players, and because you need. You need to actually coordinate and work together with your teammates because you become a sitting duck of sorts and you need someone else to prevent them from just charging you with the bayonet.
And plus,
or
it'd be
coming
cool
around the corner and go, poof.
Plus, it'd be cool to have like cannons on the back line.
And the Gatling gun back then.
All that stuff would be cool.
Yeah, no, they should definitely make. Oh, that's right there, Chris. See, Mag. Make another a Mag game that's that. Yeah, that would be.
I think the larger the competition for a shooter game, the slower paced the shots should be, just to make it more interesting. That means you have to rely on your teammates more. So like Revolutionary and Civil Wars would make a lot of sense for a large scale shooter.
I mean, I'll be honest, they made sense for even a modern era shooter. They were pretty good if you as long as the map has things that you have to achieve, like bunker busting and like forward positions that you can take over to eliminate as respawn points, and then you're pushing people, you're actually progressing through a map or regaining through the map to hold it. As long as you have that level of dynamic map, you can do any era you want. Because there's portions of it that slow the gameplay down because you're stuck at a certain position. It's not where there's a clear front line of sorts. I think that's what you need to have that type of game, a front line, a clear no. There's no like, oh, everyone's running everywhere. Is he behind me? Is he in front of me? Whatever, whatever. No, it's, oh, that person got behind our line. Someone go find him. He's being a ghost. Like special recon person behind us, that is what you have to deal with. If someone gets behind, it's not going to be everyone's behind us. Now we have to turn around and go where we respawn from. But
so in other words, we need to start a game studio to build this shooter.
I don't code that much, so don't look to me, but I'd happily consult.
All right, long story short, neither of us believe that this lawsuit has any legs, but in the current state of things, who knows?
I mean, you gotta rephrase that, Chris.
I don't think it has any legs.
Personally. I don't think it has any legs, but
maybe the government
officials who want power in this domain clearly see it as having legs. So
who knows?
It could easily gain traction. I don't know. Someone wants their cut. All right, like that's. Someone saw that 69 and they're like, okay, that's too kinky for the rule book here. Let's take a billion of that and give that to the right people. All right. Grease some palms with that the 69th billion.
Somebody, I don't know. I guess we'll have to see what happens. I'm curious how this is going to play out. Obviously, you know, screw you, Jim Ryan, for making this such an issue when it shouldn't be. And, I think Activision would fit well with Microsoft, especially since they're not really all that bad with spreading their franchises out, especially since the Xbox One days. So I don't
Call of Duty's issue. Dead.
Call of Duty's just probably coming to Nintendo. That could be cool to have Call of Duty Zombies on the Switch.
You only care about zombies.
So. I only care about zombies. That's a fact. Call of Duty and Minecraft could be an interesting crossover.
Wow, that would be
something. That'd be bizarre.
That'd be something.
But
they'll make a Call of Duty Minecraft Fortnite combo style game.
I still think they need like shooter heroes or FPS heroes or something, and just like all of their first person shooter franchises should all be in it as like a party mode.
I honestly
You can get, you know, Halo guy, yeah. Doom guy.
I think if Sony had just kept the Meg series alive, I think it would be killing it in the current in the current marketplace of online shooters.
You would.
Well, okay, you can't deny that would be kicking some major.
Oh, I can deny. It just doesn't mean I'm right.
I'm just saying, man.
I can deny anything I want. Infamous should be a comeback. Microsoft, just buy Infamous. Buy Sucker Punch from Sony.
They can never afford it. They couldn't afford it.
Sucker Punch is worth too much money. Sucker Punch is a great studio.
Sucker Punch, especially after Ghost of Tsushima. I don't think...
Facebook should buy Sucker Punch and call it Zucker Punch.
Okay, I don't think Sony could be offered enough money to ever give up.
No, Sucker Punch is too close to the brim. They love their Sucker Punch.
I think that is basically their main studio right now.
No, Insomniac too. Mm. They did Spider-Man.
That's true. I'm just saying, like, Sucker Punch is probably one of their biggest
Naughty Dog, Sucker currently. Punch, and Insomniac are basically like the three core Sony.
Yeah. Yeah. Studios. As of right now.
Yeah.
That can change, but yeah.
Anyways, I don't have anything else to say about this. Nope. I think it's stupid. FTC, generally speaking, when the government gets involved, I'm anti-government involvement most of the time. So
not when it's something that clearly is kind of defined as speech, which is entertainment here.
No. I said most of the time. I didn't say all of the time.
No. I was saying especially when it's
especially
when it's something like this, where it's entertainment and speech. It's just kind of a bad precedent.
Yeah, I don't like the government getting involved in my speech at all.
Yeah,
I'm pretty much okay with everybody saying what they want, and I will tell them how I feel about that. Just because you're a horrible person and you say the worst things imaginable, I'd like to shut you down, you know, without taking away your speech.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyways, as always, I am Chris.
And I'm Andrew.
And if we don't get canceled, we'll see you on...
on the next Krillcast.
Bye, guys.
Bye, guys.